Hosea chapter 11, Brother Hosea being one of those, one of the minor prophets, one of the 12. Not a minor prophet because it's less weighty, but minor just because of the size of the book. The book of Hosea is one of the largest of the minor prophets, having 14 chapters. And so we're at the 11th chapter. We've seen how our Lord has used this man Hosea to make him and his wife to be a type of our Lord regarding his wife and this other woman that he bought, he purchased and brought and set aside. The naming of his children were a prophecy and a testimony to the nation. And so those were names that those children bore all of their lives. And say, oh, how cruel of the Lord to do that. Well, no, we're not dealing with another man. We're dealing with God. God is dealing with them and us, rather. And we need to know that. You and I, we all of us, we need to know that. And as it is with the Lord and his men, he then speaks to them that they might speak to the people and speak to the nation the word of God. And so for some chapters, since chapter 4 or so, it's been that way. Different pictures that were given to help understand about what's at hand, what the Lord's contention with the nation is, what his argument with the nation is, pointing out their sins, pointing out and showing his grief, and all of it telling about his love, and we're going to see that in this chapter. I don't know if we'll get to that part of it tonight, but this chapter does reveal something very, very great regarding the love of God, and which is without compare. He is love. God is love. And it's not love. Love is not what the world defines as love. What the world typically defines love as is desire and lust. But that's not the love of our Lord. The love of our Lord is a self-sacrificing love and a willingness to take his enemies and by Jesus Christ make them his friends, his children. And so the reminiscing of the Lord here in verse number 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And we see that all through the scriptures and different aspects, different ones. And Egypt being a type of the world, that's what the Lord has called us from, out of sin. A type of the world, Egypt, a type of the world, and type of the sin. As they, the prophets, called them, called Israel, so they went from them. They went away from the Lord who sent the prophets. No prophet bears his own message but the Word of God. Your pastor, preachers, teachers here in the church, we're never to bear our own message but the message, the Word of God. And we're the instruments of the Lord in that, not the originators of an idea or a thought or philosophy. It's the Word of God. They sacrificed unto Balaam all the Baal gods, as indicated there, and burned incense to graven images. They took, it says earlier in the book, that they took the goodness of the land and they really, really made some real, real nice idols. I mean, they were exquisite. But it was to the denial and the rejection of the Lord. In verse number 3, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, and pointed out that could well mean like a parent, a father, a mother would take a toddler and help them along on their way. That's some mention about this, like a parent taking the child and putting their little feet on their own feet and then taking them and walking on. And we know that that's what the Lord does with his own and with the nation. He bore them, and that's manifested in the scriptures. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I had that I healed them. He promised to do so. And that's what he does to those that he saves, is he heals us. Heals us from the ravages of sin, heals us from the awfulness of sin, heals us from the broken relationship, the no relationship that we have with him without Christ, and with Christ, those things are healed. And we have a real help in life. And then we have, as I preached about Sunday, about the ultimate redemption of our own bodies, we'll end up with a body like Christ, where sin won't impact us anymore. Then we come to verse number 4, and I wanted to really slow down for this verse, that we might understand that the Lord would help us, and that we would understand about how the Lord works with mankind, how he worked with the nation, how he worked with the patriarchs, how he worked with Abraham. He said, I drew them with cords of a man, verse 4, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. The Lord tells here about how it is how he deals with sinners, with a nation, again with the patriarchs, and those that he does save and brings to himself. The Lord never takes anybody and forces them into salvation. The Lord does this cords of a man. If we could understand that, not cords of a cow or a bull, but cords of a man. A drawing that can be understood, and if you will allow me, can be understood and felt by a man. One brother put it, the wooing of the Lord. The Lord, in regards to the nation, these cords of a man, he condescends the sinner's estate, and he deals with us where we are. He tells us the truth. He doesn't hold anything back. He's brutally honest about what's going on, what the situation is. But he doesn't leave us there in regards to sinners and those that the Lord saves. He doesn't leave us there, but he tells us and shows us about hope. He tells us about a sacrifice, the Savior. He tells us that he has willingly done this for sinners. In regards to the nation, these cords of a man that can be understood, and not the rough treatment of a head of cattle or that, but cords of a man. God not being on the level of man, but he has come down to deal with us and deals with mankind in a way that we can understand. His intent with what he has sent in his prophets and in his word and his messengers is that we would hear. So much of that we see in the scripture, the point and work of the Lord is for us to hear. To hear. The Lord Jesus, he would not allow the fallen angels, the demons, to testify of him. Not their word to be told and believed, but the word of God. The man in hell that the Lord tells about while Lazarus is over with Abraham in glory, he says to that man, Abraham says to that man, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them, not send somebody back. And so in regards to the nation, these bands of love, the kindness, the graciousness, the mercifulness of the Lord. We've touched upon it in recent times, and Lord willing, it'll be a study for the future about how the Lord says he's talking to Moses and says, these 10 times they have provoked me. He didn't look to do something to him the first time, the second time, the third time, but he was merciful, wasn't he? Merciful. Bands of love. And so in regards to the nation, we hear these words in the scripture, like in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Cords of a man. Bands of love. Not the rough treatment of a cow or a bull where you would put a lash on them and lead them along and force them along. But with cords of a man, understood by a man, and bands of love. In this, we see in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what's the Lord do? He speaks. He speaks. He gives his word. He tells the truth. He tells what he is purposing to do, like with Abraham. And you know what? I was thinking about this as we were singing, and the scripture doesn't tell us, and nor did it take place, that the Lord went and spoke to 10 different men, and finally Abraham believed him. But the Lord went to Abraham, and he spoke to him, and he did believe him. Remember, our Lord Jesus said, had the words spoken and the works done in Capernaum been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have remained unto that day. He knows how to speak, doesn't he? And he speaks to us. Cords of a man and bands of love. So the Lord speaks, and by the Lord speaking his word and giving us the scripture and telling us the truth that we need, He takes someone that doesn't even care about their soul, about their eternity, about their sin, about God, and somehow he makes it to where they hear. They hear by the word of God. Brother Jim, we've got to figure out something we can do that more people will be saved and folks can be added to the church. I tell you what, we don't need to figure anything out. We just need to do what the Lord's given us, and we need to do that well and sincerely from the best that we can do it, and preach the word of God and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? From the word of God and God speaking, folks are brought to hearing, and somehow by that, by hearing the word of God, they're brought to faith, to believe. Believe what? Believe what God has said for you. That's the way the Lord works. That's his design. That's his way. Oh, the news about our sin and the condemnation and damnation that lies ahead for unrepentant, unbelieving sinners at the end of this life, after the last breath of the last heartbeat, the last function of the brain, when that is, it's reserved only for God, He holding life in His hand. When the life stops and the soul departs from this body, and if someone's not saved by Jesus Christ, they're going to wake up in hell. Jesus testified to that fact. That's rough news. That's terrible news. But you know what? Without knowing that, sinners aren't brought to the need of the necessity of Christ Jesus as Savior. You got to understand, one needs to understand how bad off they are. And that's a very loving thing to tell that truth. Because you know what? Satan and the world will not tell you that. But the Lord does. And he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. It seems rough, and the reality of it is very serious and very grave. But the Lord doesn't do it screaming at the top of his lungs, if you will. Now, a preacher may, but he tells it plainly and clearly out of his word. And I tell you what, love is manifested in telling that truth. In Titus chapter 3, verse number 4, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. Again, speaking about the nation, Abram's over there in Ur of the Chaldees, and he's just got a life like everybody else's life, and the Lord tells him to get up and get out of there, and then he deals with him, and he tells him more things and more things and more things. And the scripture says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him to write for righteousness. The scripture says that, not Jim. The Lord spoke and visited Abram, and he believed God, what God said. And he with cords of a man and bands of love. I mean, everything that the Lord spoke to Abram was good. That's the way that the Lord speaks to sinners today. Again, that about hell and the lake of fire and eternal damnation from God, that is true and that is serious and that is rough. But one must understand, if one is unbelieving and unrepentant, that is where you go. And it is loving to tell that truth. But there's more. It just doesn't stop there. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 8, what saith it? The word is nigh thee. What word? The word of God. What the Lord has said. The word is near, especially in our nation. The word is near, especially growing up in a Baptist church, having a connection to a Baptist church and that preaches the truth of God's Word. The Word of God is near. Believe it. It's the love of God, the bands of love and the cords of a man. But what saith it? The Word of God is nigh thee, Romans 8 or 10, verse number 8. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Hear what the Lord says. And believe Him and trust Him in it. In Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Lord speaks to we who are saved. It's retrospective that we might learn. You know, the Lord says that a lot. In the Scriptures, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I want you to have knowledge. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. If you're here and you're not saved, that's where you're at. You're dead. And you need life. Dead in what? Sins against God. Trespasses against God and disobedience against God. It is loving to tell that truth to sinners. Because there are those in the world and those that have lived that never heard that. Now, we're not going to get into the debate about how God could allow that to happen. Because the thing is we're not dealing with another man here. We're dealing with God. And what matters is your soul. Not arguing about something God did some other time in some other way. Those designs are His. The love and the bands that the Lord is showing you is that you're here tonight hearing the truth of God's Word and the Savior. That's what matters. Don't be distracted. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That's the way it was for the saved. If you're here and you're not saved, that's what you're doing, the course of the world. Makes sense. Looks like a good time. We're going to follow after that. It's enjoyable. But that is according to the prince and the power of the air. That's according to Satan. It's loving to tell somebody that. for that to be known, to understand about where you are right now if you're not saved. We were saved. This is where we were. This is what we've been saved from. And we've not been saved from this because we are anything special or any catch. We've been saved from this because the Lord has been gracious and merciful to us in giving His Son. We've received it. We believe Him. The Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There are children of disobedience, and Satan works in them. And you need saved from that. Among whom also we all had our conversation. We all had our way of life, our thinking, our speech, our actions. In time past, in the desire, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what the saved have been saved from. That's what the unsaved are living in. And again, the Lord's not blasting that or screaming that, but it is being proclaimed by His Word that it might be known. Where you at? Where you stand? But God, who is rich in mercy, cords of a man, something that can be understood by men, women, boys, and girls, bands of love. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, yes, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved His cosmos, that's the Greek word, His creation, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not die. I'll die physically, yes. But see, God's always looking at the big picture. So it's not physical death is not really the issue. It's eternal and spiritual death. That's the issue. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. No second death. But God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Yeah, the Lord is willing to save those who are dead in sins. That is the main thrust and purpose of Olmsted Baptist Church, is to carry this message to those who are dead in sins. That's it. That's the beginning of the commission. That's the first thing that the Lord has given us to do. And so we tell it. We don't tell it because we've come up with this idea or this thinking, but we're telling again what God has already said. The facts, the truth. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. See, you cannot save yourself. A sinner, we who are saved, we did not save ourselves. But the Lord Jesus saved us. And isn't that loving to be told the truth? Isn't that loving to have witnesses, like Israel had the prophets go to them. And look at that parallel. Prophets going to Israel to tell them the truth. Witnesses of the Lord and salvation by Jesus Christ going to the unbelieving. The Lord is loving. He's gracious. He's kind. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. It is He that gives life. No sinner is called to save himself. The brethren there in the book of Acts, they say, save yourself from this untoward generation by believing the message that they preach regarding Christ. And the Lord is the one that saves. The Lord's the one that makes alive. Do you see that you need Him? We who are saved, we declare openly that we needed Him. By grace, by the graciousness you are saved, by the graciousness of God, sinners are saved. God's the one that loved first. We love him because he first loved us. Amen? God loved before the clock of time began to tick the first minute. Jesus loved before the clock of time ticked the first minute. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, if you're here and you're not saved, you're on the broad way of sin. You can do anything you want there, but the whole broad way leads to hell, death, and destruction eternally. But you know what the Lord does? Well, you know what the Lord promises? To those that repent and believe and trust in them, he'll take you from that broad road and he'll take you and set you in heavenly places. There's a place prepared for me because of me, because I'm a pastor? No. Because of one of the benefits that the Lord Jesus has promised to those that he saves. And there's much, much more heavenly places to be there. To be made a child of God, a son of God, and all the blessings and benefits that the Lord gives. Those are just blessings on top of the rescue. The rescue is the most important thing. That is the thing that's key in being saved from these things that are spelled out here. And hath raised us up together, he'll raise you up. Together with his children, and make you to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, if you'll receive Christ. And listen to this. There's a future for the children of God, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Cords of a man, and bands of love. What's typical for sinners is when they're told that they're sinners before God, they say, "What do you mean sin before God? I don't believe God's there, and I don't believe anything that I do has right, wrong, or indifferent. I just do what I want to do." The thing is God says otherwise. Better hear him. Better believe him. And we pray that you do. I drew them with cords of a man and bands of love. In another way of considering this, in cords of a man and bands of love, listen to what Jesus says in John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. To die. To be willing to die for another. No other God of men ever put forth anything that they would die for others but the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for his people. He died for sinners. And you know what? As the Lord works on an individual, and we pray, we pray that the Lord will do it, and we pray that the Lord will open your ears and your eyes and your hearts, those that are not saved, and folks that we meet and witness to. We pray that the Lord will do so. We testify that the Lord did so with us in this way, as it was in John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, with the woman at the well at Sychar. And the woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Do you remember when the Lord said that to you? I remember when the Lord said that. He didn't say those words, and I didn't hear him with these ears. But when he came, he said, "I that speak unto thee am he." I'm the Savior you need, Jim. Individually. Isn't that loving? It sure is, isn't it? Isn't that kind? See, that's the confusion that people have. They think the natural man just looks on at this thing that we do and thinks it's a bunch of religion, that it's just physical practice. And what they see is the physical practice. They see the physical acts. But we do what we do because we've been visited and touched by the Lord and changed. He came to us and said, I that speak unto you. Hear that? The one speaking unto me was the Lord Jesus Christ. To my need, to my sin. All in conviction of sin and the need of Christ. I tell you what, it's a miserable time, isn't it? It's a miserable time when you're going through it. It is. It's a miserable time when you're going through it, but I tell you what, on the salvation side of it, you're thankful. We are thankful for it, aren't we? And it's not with lightning. It's not with earthquake. But it's right down there in the soul, in the midst of our being. The Lord says to us, I that speak, I'm speaking unto you. I'm the one. Chords of a man that can be understood by men, women, boys, and girls, and bands of love. And then, as the Scripture says in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 37, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. He's not talking about two beams nailed together that you carry, and, you know, like we would have a rack back here that we would drag our crosses to church and church services and put them up in the rack. I'm not talking about that. But the cause, the work, the purpose of Christ, that is what we look to follow Him in. Whatever Jesus is doing, that's what I want to do, being saved by Him. Whatever the Lord Jesus commands, that's what I want to do. Do I do it perfectly? Do I fail in it? Yes, I do, but I want to do it well. Because He is my life. He is my help and my no-so hope. He said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Those that are saved, remember when the Lord said, follow me. Follow me. I that speak unto thee am He. Follow me. It's an individual thing. It's not a wholesale blanket kind of thing. It's an individual thing. I tell you what, cords of a man. We understood it, didn't we? And it's real. It's not some hocus pocus. It's not some gushy, squishy, wishy-washy feeling. The Lord visited our souls and saved us. Called us. I wanted it, didn't you? Go from not even knowing it was an issue to understanding it was an issue. To understand it was the most serious issue of my existence. To believing and trusting in Christ. That what He did nearly 2,000 years ago, He did for me. Because He loved me. And He visited me. He spoke to me. Cords of a man and bands of love. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And you won't find Him or have Him by anything that you do, as in build, construct, accomplish, climb, pay, promise. Don't make promises to the Lord. Don't make promises to the Lord. Believe the Lord. You can't be saved by what you do or what you promise or what you look to pay or that. But you can be saved by repenting of your sins before God and believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the command of the Lord unto sinners. We pray and desire that our Lord extends those cords of a man and bands of love to you. That's what this book, in regards to mankind and to sinners, is first all about. The Lord has told the truth. These are the cords made for a man, not for a cow. And you know that differentiation, that delineation that the Lord is making. You want to follow after gods that are cows? Then in all this dealing with them, dealing with Israel, he keeps making this reference to them like a cow. Don't you know how you're taking yourself and you're pulling yourself down from what you could be in obeying and following me? These are the cords of a man, cords for a man, that the Lord takes and he draws sinners. And bands of love, they're told about right here. Receive him and believe him. Trust in him.